It'll be you make for us. So it's the time of year that you really, really need love. What I mean, just very, very much.
Ho, ho, ho. Season's greetings, pop pickers, and welcome along to Radio Radio, an occasional series of podcasts presented by me, Gareth Jones. And as ever, we're coming to you directly from my cold, damp flat in Bristol in the UK. Although at this time of year, I ought to use a little bit of Christmas magic. Coming to you directly from a giant mansion in the North Pole. It certainly feels like the North Pole here anyway. Two crazy Christmas cover versions to start off the show. First up, we had Birmingham duo Sarah and Steph, otherwise known as Sonic the Comic. Sonic the Comic are a duo inspired by, well, Sonic the Hedgehog, computer arcade games, and synthesizers. And that was their super speedy version of Jonah Louie's Stop the Cavalry. And that's taken from a Christmas album that was released last year as a download only. 21 Christmas tracks. The album was called just simply Christmas Album. Not a lot of imagination went into that title. Then again, nor did Radio Radio, let's be honest. If you fancy getting yourself a copy, it's a Pay What You Want album. Name your price. I think Radiohead kickstarted that idea. Lots of people do it now. Name your price. And obviously, being a Scrooge, I paid £1. Yes, I paid £1 for 21 tracks. I am a bit tight. But you can obviously pay a fiver or pay whatever you fancy. It's available from Pessimista, a bit like pessimistic. Pessimista, that's Pessimister. Pessimista.bandcamp.com. And the album, as I say, was just called Christmas Album. Such imagination. And that was followed by, how do you pronounce this? DZ Death Rays? Or maybe Dizzy, like Dizzy Rascal. Dizzy Death Rays. I can't believe it would be DZ Death Rays. I very much doubt it. They're from Australia. I'm sure Australians say Z, just like Americans do. So it's probably DZ Death Rays. I've never actually heard the correct pronunciation of their name. Australian duo DZ Death Rays. And they were covering, of course, Mudd's Lonely This Christmas. And that's available on a split vinyl release on the Two Pure Singles Club. And on the other side is Pulled Apart by Horses, who are covering Slade's Merry Christmas, Everybody. And I know that was a limited release of about 500 copies, and I think they've all gone. But, look on eBay. You'll probably have to pay over the odds, but it's a nice item. Well, welcome along. It's Radio Radio, and I look forward to this moment basically the entire 11 months of the year. I wait for 11 months for December to come round so I can do my annual Christmas special. This is basically the highlight of the year for me. The other 11 months are completely meaningless. It's all about Christmas. I collect indie alternative Christmas records, and every year I share some of them with you, and I also try to interview a couple of bands or a couple of people associated with Christmas. And who have we got coming up on this edition, on this festive 2014 edition of Radio Radio? Well, we've got the big one. After doing these podcasts for like 3 or 4 years, we've managed to get and secure an exclusive interview with none other than Father Christmas. I'll be speaking to Father Christmas very shortly. Also, I'll be speaking to singer-songwriter, described as a kind of modern-day George Formby in many ways, singer-songwriter David Leitch, who has quite a few interesting opinions about Christmas and also has a few interesting Christmas stories to tell. So, David Leitch coming up, and he's released a Christmas song on his Bandcamp. And then we'll also be speaking to, I don't know how you describe them, kind of folk goth? Would that be fair? Kind of folk goth indie duo, well, they're a band really, the Smoke Fairies. I'll be speaking to Catherine and Jessica from the Smoke Fairies, who've just released a Christmas album called Wild Winter. So that's all coming up on this festive feast. But first, tell me, what would you like for Christmas?
For Christmas, only a hippopotamus will do. I don't want a doll, no dinky tinky toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. You won't have to use a dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning, down the stairs. Imagine my surprise when I open up my eyes and see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles, rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too. Says a hippo would eat me up, but then teacher says a hippo is a vegetarian. There's lots of room for him in our two-car garage. I'd feed him there and wash him there and give him a massage. I'd see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. What joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes and see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles, rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Well, don't we all? Actually, I'd rather just settle for a turkey, to be honest. That was Keith Top of the Pops. Now, clearly that's not his real name. He's really called Steve Top of the Pops. I'm only joking. Obviously, he's called Keith, but I don't know what his other name is. Keith Top of the Pops is the name he goes under. And he formed his band at an Art Brut gig. How brilliant is that? He was at an Art Brut gig and formed a band. I think that's marvellous. Apparently, so the story goes, Art Brut played a show in New York. The support band pulled out at the very last minute. And Keith, friends of the band, he said, well, I've written some songs. How about if I get up on stage if you join me? And he became the support band there and then. I think two members of Art Brut joined him and they just sort of jammed and played the songs and formed a band straight away. And they play gigs around London every so often. Basically, he's got a sort of ever-evolving, ever-changing lineup. Different guests turn up each night. Someone might be playing the triangle, or someone might be singing backing vocals. Different members of various different bands will turn up on the night. It's a sort of indie supergroup. So one night, I don't know, maybe one night Jarvis Cocker might turn up. Another night, I don't know, the guitarist from My Life Story. Another night, the drummer from Bennett. That's the kind of calibre of artist we're talking about, because his backing band are called the Minor UK Indie Celebrity All-Star Backing Band. Try saying that with a fruit pastel in your mouth. The Minor UK Indie Celebrity All-Star Backing Band, which not only is quite a mouthful, but that's quite a lot of text to put on a poster when you've got a gig coming up. So Keith Top of the Pops and the Minor UK Indie Celebrity All-Star Backing Band, and that song was available as a free download on his SoundCloud last year. And I'm not sure if you're familiar or not, but that's actually a cover version. I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas was originally by Gayla Peavy, released back in 1953. Now, Gayla Peavy was 10 years old at the time, a child star, and she had a hit with that song. I think it was a hit in America. I'm not sure if it was a hit in England. But she's still alive. I've just looked on Wikipedia. She's still going. She's still going strong. She's aged 71. And I don't know if she's still working, but she is still alive. And I looked on Wikipedia. I thought I'd find out a bit of information about her. It turns out she had quite a long career releasing singles that didn't chart, apart from I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. So record companies were obviously very understanding back then and would let you keep releasing flop after flop. She had two more Christmas singles, neither of which charted. In 1954, she had a song called Angel in the Christmas Play, and in 1955, she released a single called 77 Santas. I'm dying to hear it. Now I've read about it, I'm going to have to go on YouTube or something and find out. And she also, in 1959, released a song called Robot Man. Now, you may or may not know this, but I collect sort of vintage, not all of them are vintage, but kind of vintage-style robot toys. I've got a shelf full of them, so I really need to check out that song, Robot Man, by Gayla Peavy. Can't wait to hear that. So, yeah, what do you want for Christmas? Well, have you been good this year? Would you like to ask Santa what you'd like for Christmas? Now, I realise this podcast is for, generally speaking, it's for over-18s. I hope there aren't any children listening. It's not really for children. But you shouldn't stop believing. You should still believe in the big man in the red suit. And in a couple of moments, I'm going to be speaking to Father Christmas. I can't wait. It's so exciting. Now, I'm not saying it's the Father Christmas, but it's certainly a Father Christmas. I went to a community centre in Bristol called the Southville Centre, which is just up the road from where I live, and I went to their Christmas fete and spoke to their Father Christmas in his grotto. So join me in a couple of moments as I speak to Father Christmas, all about his community work and talking about Christmas in general. But first, you must keep believing. Don't stop believing, as Journey would say. Keep believing in the big man in the red suit. This is Hannah Peel with her version of the Greg Lake classic, I Believe in Father Christmas.
Christmas you get, you deserve.
Well, Merry Christmas. Father Christmas, I could call you Mr. X or Mr. Xmas. We won't go into your full name, but you've been playing Father Christmas for how many years now?
I think it's 4 or 5 years at Southall Centre, and it's quite good fun. But I have to grow my beard from about September onwards, so it's quite a commitment.
It is a real beard, I've noticed.
It is a real
beard, which is wonderful. So many Father Christmas cottage you visit, it's a fake beard.
Yeah, well, I'm the real Father Christmas.
Of course,
That's the reason, you see.
I guess the first thing that many people think if you're running a grotto, that children may try and tug the beard. Now, if it's a false beard, obviously it comes off. If you've got a real beard and they try to tug it, you're going to be in pain.
Well, that's true. That's not happened to me yet, but you're right. It is a risk that I take every year that I shall be tugged. But so far, so good.
Do you have to fill out various health and safety forms?
No. There's no bureaucracy associated with this. It's quite old-fashioned in that respect.
Now, you do something slightly different in this grotto. Rather than children playing with it, coming in with their parents and a one-to-one, you kind of have a gathering and storytelling.
Yes, we have a number of sessions, and I suppose there's about 20 children at any given time and about the same number of parents. So it's quite crowded, and I talk to them and tell them a story and ask for their support over Christmas. Stories about Father Christmas getting lost.
Oh.
And therefore not being able to find his way to their house, and they have to help me.
Doesn't that upset the children at the idea?
No, because we explained that we had a problem last time and the way we solved it, and we can solve the problem this time as well if they help. And they're quite happy to do that. They're very up for that.
Are you allowed to reveal what they have to do to help you?
Well, the story is to do with Rudolph, who's one of my reindeers.
Mm-hmm.
He helps to guide the sleigh because he's got this big red shiny nose, but sometimes if he has a cold, he can't work, obviously, and his nose goes out, and therefore it's very difficult for me to find my way there, especially if it's foggy. And so what we ask the kids to do is to put shiny objects in their window so that as I come around I can see those and I can navigate basically by the shiny objects in their windows.
Oh.
It's in the spirit of the Southville Community Development Association, which is that we're in their building. And that's about people helping each other and solving their own problems rather than expecting somebody else, like Father Christmas, to solve them.
So it's very much a community-based thing.
I think so. Well, the whole day is a community-based thing, obviously. But we try and keep the story and the thing very much a community-based thing as well. It's about working together and being supportive of each other and helping out.
That stops the children from thinking me, me, me as well.
Well, I like to think that is the case, because I am Father Christmas after all.
Do you find with today's technology, you know, iPhones, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it may be, has that changed the way that children react to toys, Christmas, family togetherness?
I have heard of those things, but I don't think that they've had much impact. In between my storytelling sessions, I wander around the building, and what's really interesting is to see the way that children play. They play very much the same way that I played when I was a kid about 3,000 years ago, and they make it up as they go along. They don't necessarily need sophisticated equipment to do that. The most sophisticated equipment they need is in between their ears. They make things up. They use their brains. We are a social species, after all.
It's also said that children, technology aside, give them a cardboard box and they're happier.
Absolutely right. For me, one of the other key tools is chalk. Give kids a piece of chalk and they'll play for hours chalking things and so on. So I'm not saying that they don't use sometimes quite sophisticated things, and that's fine. But most of the time they run about and jump about and scream and talk to each other and do exactly what people were doing thousands of years ago.
Then in this Christmas Eve, really, all you need to do is just drop round some cardboard boxes and chalk.
Well, my secret is out. That's actually exactly what this is. This is and it's now austerity Christmas. So that's what we're down to now, is chalk and cardboard boxes. Back to the 1930s.
If I can just talk slightly about your, you know, obviously you have a real beard, but wearing this outfit all day long, is there an element of, you know, uncomfortableness?
No, it's perfectly fine. I'm used to it. You know, as I say, 3,000 years of doing this sort of activity, you get used to the uniform.
I just always thought there must be some sort of a slight downside to being dressed up all
day. Well, if I must reveal a secret, my trousers are held up by a piece of string. And I'm not quite sure how I'm going to have a wee.
Right.
But that's, you know, at some point I shall need to confront that problem. But it's a problem probably to be solved individually rather than as a community activity. That's,
And how will you personally be spending Christmas this year?
I'm going, actually, once I've finished delivering presents, of course, I'm going to my wife's sister's for a couple of days in Dorset, which will be nice.
Is your wife Mary?
No, my wife is called Jo, actually.
Oh, that's killed that myth.
Yeah, well, there we are. I have several wives, of course, being Father Christmas. That's why I keep going ho, ho, ho all the time.
And what about the diet? I mean, obviously, people offer a carrot for Rudolph, and they would normally then offer you cookies, mince pies. Do you become sick of that as the years go by?
Certainly get sick of carrots if they offered me. But no, the things you describe are perfect, lovely. Actually, I've just had a pork bap. Oh. I recommend pork baps as well.
That's the way forward.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to be said with that, with some stuffing and applesauce. Or yo-ho-ho.
Well, I wish you a Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, sir.
And enjoy the rest of your day with the children at the Selfville Centre.
I'll do the best I can. Yep, okay, and be good. And you, who knows, I might deliver something special.
That sounds more like a threat.
Take it as you like.
What do you do if a child actually admits that they've been naughty?
Two sets of presents.
Two sets of presents?
Two sets of presents. Because a naughty child is a child with imagination, with energy. They're the sorts of people that are going to make a difference in the world, aren't they?
Wow, you heard it here first. Well, thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
And to you.
You're tuned to Radio Radio with Gareth Jones.
Mummy beans for dinner. You know I ate them all. Said come get your coat on. Going to the mall. You're gonna visit Santa and sit upon his knee. But all that I could think about was how not to cut the cheese. Waiting there for Santa, I thought that I'd explode. The gas bubble grew bigger with every ho ho ho. Tried my best to hide it, that I was doing swell. But when I sat down on Santa's lap, he hollered, "What's that smell?"
I farted on Santa's lap.
I asked him for a baseball, I asked him for a bat. I asked him for some ice skates, but I'll get none of that. I asked him for a lot of things I'll have to do without. So when I sat down on Santa's lap, I let one slip out.
I put it on Santa's lap, now this mess is gonna stick for me.
I snuck out of my bed without a sound. Went down to the living room just to take a look around. It was then that I saw Santa next to the Christmas tree. His arms were full of presents, and they were all for me. Put them on a pile, got up to turn around, and blew a fart with such great force our tree almost came down. So I'll always cherish that special moment when I realized even old Saint Nick rips one now and then.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas!
I've been feeling jealous each time she climbs on his knee, and she stands beneath the mistletoe screaming for him to stand beneath the mistletoe screaming. I can't help but feel jealous each time she climbs on his knee. Why must she climb on his knee? She kissed him once and whispered in his ear, I saw my baby wearing Santa's beard. I wish he would go, he's breaking up my home. She always had this twisted side to her, but she'd never drag my name around. But lately she's been humming cheating songs. I don't like that fat guy around. No, I don't want that fat guy around. I saw my baby wearing Santa's beard. She kissed him once and whispered in his ear. I saw my baby wearing Santa's beard. Wish she would go, breaking up my heart. Trembling fear, I saw my baby wearing Santa's beard. I wish he would go, breaking up my
Three Santa-related songs for you there, and my thanks to Father Christmas for agreeing to speak to me, and to everyone involved at the Southfield Centre for arranging the interview. So, first up, we had Father Christmas, taken from the original London cast recording of Scrooge the Musical. Yeah, handbag. Then we had the Little Stinkers with I Farted on Santa's Lap. Well, we've all been there, haven't we? And the Little Stinkers are a group of American children, as you could probably tell, led by 7-year-old Mary. What a lovely name for Christmas, eh? How appropriate. Well, she was 7 years old at the time, but it was recorded 10 years ago, so she's now 17 and probably regrets ever doing it. Anyway, Mary's parents, Gina and Tony, wrote the song one afternoon very quickly, recorded it very quickly, and sent it off to a local radio station just for a bit of fun. And the rest is history. Every year, at Christmas time, the song I Farted on Santa's Lap is played on radio stations all across America. And it even became a minor hit on the Billboard Hot 100. Unbelievable. Although I don't think it ever gets any airplay in the UK. In actual fact, it might be a Radio UK exclusive. Woo! And then we had Simon Love, formerly of The Loves, with his version of Santa's Beard. The original was by They Might Be Giants from their second album, Lincoln. And you can hear the original version, plus the Beach Boys song Santa's Beard, which is totally different, as I discuss it with John Flansburg, one half of They Might Be Giants, on a podcast I did last year. It's still available at radioradiopodcast.podomatic.com, probably the same website that you're getting this one from, radioradiopodcast.podomatic.com, and it's the fifth show, Radio Radio number 5. I'm in conversation with They Might Be Giants, and you can hear the original version of Santa's Beard, but that was Simon Love covering it in, well, I'd say it was kind of like Bob Dylan on vocals with the Pogues on accordion. That's the kind of vibe I was getting anyway. And you can get that track on the Very Cherry Christmas compilation series. Don't know if you heard last year's Christmas special, but I was in conversation with Rachel Nyman talking about Volume 9 of the series. And here we are with Volume 10 in 2014. I chose some of the tracks, Rachel chose some of the tracks. Altogether, there are 23 indie pop, indie alternative Christmas songs on there. And it's £7, including postage and packing, or £8 outside of the UK. You can't say fairer than that. You can get yourself a copy from cherryaidrecords.blogspot.co.uk. And there's a lot of dots there. cherryaidrecords.blogspot.co.uk. A Very Cherry Christmas, Volume 10, features Simon Love with his version of Santa's Beard, along with 22 other indie alternative Christmas songs. Other artists on there include The Time Machine from Lancaster, with a song called Driving Home for Christmas Presents, presents being in brackets, and The Very Most, an American band, The Very Most, covering The Wombles' Wombling Merry Christmas, which is a joy to be heard, I must say. And also Simon Love's version of Santa's Beard, as well as being on the CD, is also available on his Bandcamp on a pay-what-you-want basis, which a lot of people are doing. So it's simonlove.bandcamp.com, and you can buy Simon's version of Santa's Beard for 50p or for nothing. It's entirely up to you. Right, it's Radio Radio Christmas Special, and I will now be in conversation with Mr. David Leitch. Now, David Leitch is, he's kind of been described like a modern-day George Formby. He's got witty lyrics, he plays a ukulele, and some rather witty northern banter. But he currently lives in Bristol. Now, David released a Christmas song last year called Homemade Christmas, which you'll hear in a couple of moments. But first, let's catch up with David Leitch. From Tip North, but now living down south, Mr. David Leitch, happy Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas, Gareth, you're right.
I'm all right. and we're going to talk about your song, Homemade Christmas, but before we do...
It's called Handmade Christmas, by the way. Oh, Gareth, you twat.
Handmade Christmas.
Handmade Christmas.
Why did I say homemade? You did make it at home, I guess.
I think it's one of those things. Homemade and handmade are very similar, but when you go... Let's say you went to a brewer's fair... and they gave you a homemade soup, you kind of hope that it wasn't made in, like, the kitchen staff's home. But if they gave you a handmade soup, you probably eat it because you'd want it to be made by people and not by robots. How's that?
Point well made. But, yeah, let's talk about your CD, first of all, which is handmade, probably made in your home. Many bands these days struggle to, you know, manufacture the physical format. You've got a way around that. What have you done?
Well, I combine two hobbies, music as a hobby, an enjoyable one, and I also do knitting, which I sort of picked up about 8 years ago, and I decided one day, oh, I've run out of things to try knitting, what do I do? Oh, I've got a gig next week, let's knit some CD cases, and so the first lot I did, I used, like, you know, like when you've got a shirt, and you've got, like, spare buttons on the side, I used buttons like that on it, and, you know, it didn't look particularly good, but, you know, people bought them, and I think it's one of those things, it was because it was different, you know, someone thought, you know what, I'm going to buy a CD, you know. I don't know if anyone actually listens to the CD, but, you know, they're very happy with their knitted wares.
You can use it, if you made them a little bit bigger, can make a nice tea cosy as well.
Yeah, I do, I make hats as well and sell them at my gig, and a lot of my hats end up being used as tea cosies in my house. And my CD cases are also used sometimes by friends of mine as tobacco pouches. A friend of mine up in Sheffield who has got so many of my CDs, because I make him mix CDs as well, that I think he started using them as tobacco pouches.
And your songs are available, obviously, off your Bandcamp.
Yeah. So, you know, davidleitch.bandcamp.com and all that lot. I sell my CDs on there as well, which is a good way of getting interest beyond sort of the live music scene. So I've sold CDs all around the world, Sweden, Australia, America. And again, I think it's because it's, you know, it's a woolly CD that does it, and it sort of encourages people to sort of spend money, not just on downloading something, but actually purchasing something and having a physical object. I prefer selling at gigs because if you ever come to one of my gigs, you'll see me running around like about 2 seconds after I finish playing with a wicker suitcase full of knitwear, trying to flog my wares like a market trader. But yeah, I mean, the website is really useful in terms of encouraging people to listen to the music. And then if they do want to buy it, then great. And if they don't, then I don't mind because I made it all at home anyway. When I first started making music, I had a £2 microphone from WH Smith's. I did, yeah. And what was it? Windows, oh, what's it called? That Windows Wave Editor. So I was basically using those two things in order to create myself sort of a four-track system and sort of playing them all at once and hoping for the best. I've got a little bit more advanced now. I've got a £50 microphone, you know, like one for podcasts.
I think that's probably what I spent on mine, to be honest, yeah.
Exactly. So I've got a bit of a better microphone, but I still do it all in my bedroom.
Halloween is over and you know what that means. Time to join the masses on every major high street, pushing through the Arndale, buy one get one free. That kind of Christmas just doesn't chime with me. I want a handmade Christmas time. We with knitted jumpers and homemade mulled wine. Make me a Christmas card, don't send an SMS. Our independent Christmas is better than the rest. Snow is on the hilltops, ice is on the roads. Watching movies from the 80s and drinking lots of hot Vimto. You made the Christmas bunting that decorates the tree. I made a dozen mince pies and I'll make a pot of tea. I want a handmade Christmas tie with knitted jumpers and homemade mulled wine. Make me a Christmas card, don't send an SMS. Our independent Christmas is better than the rest. Alarm goes off at 6 a.m, the day has finally come. I made a scarf for my dad, I bought a painting for my mum. You don't need a tacky gift set, 3 for 2 at Boots. I bought something more personal and something that suits. I want a handmade Christmas tie with knitted jumpers and homemade mulled wine. Make me a Christmas card, don't send an SMS. An independent Christmas is better than the rest.
So, David, let's talk about handmade, homemade, however you wish to describe it. I believe that your philosophy is that definitely Christmas is too commercialised, and maybe we should get back to the idea of making gifts for each other and, you know, making it a bit more of a personal touch.
Well, the reason why I wrote the song, originally, I was asked by Manchester Craft and Design Centre to be sort of a resident busker. So I was busking at their Christmas market every Thursday for a month up in Manchester. It's a market hall, basically, full of shops run by people who make stuff, you know, and sell it and, you know, make a living out of doing that. And you think, well, actually, you know what? This has got a lot more Christmas cheer than anything I can find down at the Arndale. For me, it's really disheartening when someone buys you a gift and you find out that, you know, it was 3 for 2 from Boots because it's from Sanctuary, or, you know, it's soap on a rope. And I think that when you get these kind of gifts, it doesn't feel special. It doesn't feel, you know, it's almost contrived, you know. I mean, every year I get a Lynx box set off someone, and every year I know that it was 3 for 2 from Boots. And every year I have to sort of smile about it and go, oh, thank you. Thank you very much for this, like, thing I could have bought in the shop that you probably paid more, you know, because you can get like a can of Lynx for 99p at B&M Bargains. So, you know, they're paying £6 on their 3 for 2 offer. So not only are they wasting money and giving money to a huge corporation, they're, you know, they're disappointing me by wasting their money. I'd much rather them like buy me something for half the price, you know, that was made by somebody or came from a small shop.
And what's your take on online shopping? A lot of people now are going down that route, obviously.
I think online shopping is good to an extent because I sell my stuff online. So, you know, it'd be a bit hypocritical for me to say, oh, don't buy anything on the internet. You know, the high street's dying. But I think that when you buy things online, you've got to think about where your money's going. Just like if you go to a farmer's market, you know, it's probably going to some middle-class farmer. And if you go to Asda, you know, it's going to some rich bloke in America. The same applies on the internet. If you go on Amazon, you're pretty sure that most of that cash is going to go to, you know, not to our government, but to, you know, a faceless corporation that's, you know, its Christmas elves are working like slave hours and working at low pay, when, you know, you could go to somewhere like Etsy or go to a private shop or to a record store like Piccadilly Records and buy from them. And then at least you know that that money's going to sort of a business owner who, you know, is trying their best to make ends meet. And not only that, but, you know, it's probably not going towards the exploitation of people, or at least you'd like to hope not. Personally, I find it quite difficult to shop on the internet because I'm quite a visual person. So I like wandering around shops and seeing things and, you know, trying to figure out. Normally what I do is I go around and buy lots of things I like and then divide them up later, which is not the thing that you should do. You should really think about people. But I go, oh, I like that. Oh, I'll buy that for Christmas. And then anything that I've got left over, I get to keep for myself, which is not the best way of doing it. But it is a way of doing it. It's not, you don't save any money doing that. But yeah, I think this year it's a Moomin tea towel that I'm going to be keeping for myself or possibly giving to my mum.
There's another line in the song, I can't quote the line, but it's about sending an SMS.
I know it's really hard to sing that.
But I get the point you're making, you know, sending a text to someone instead of giving a Christmas card. I find the equivalent of that. In the last couple of years, definitely the last 2 to 3 years, I've had far less Christmas cards, but people will write on your wall. On your Facebook wall.
On your Facebook wall, yeah.
not on your wall.
No, that'd be a bit creepy, Redrum. Yeah, I think it's the same with birthdays. I think, you know, the nice thing about Christmas cards is that when I was a kid anyway, there was a sense of occasion about it, because my dad used to work, like, he used to sell frozen food to people, like pubs and that. And so he'd get shed loads of Christmas cards from all these pubs up north, you know, Leeds, like round Windermere, round Blackpool. And so when you got that, you've got like a whole room full of Christmas cards, and we had to get the string up and get, you know, the drawing pins out and like string them up. It's quite nice, you know, it does make it feel a lot more festive. But I do think that these days, maybe it's an economic thing as well, you know, it's a lot cheaper sending someone a text than it is to write them a Christmas card. But I'm of the mindset, if you want to wish someone a Merry Christmas, you do it in a nice way, you do it in a way that shows that you've taken time and effort to do it, rather than sort of, you know, doing it on the bus because you're bored, you know, which is essentially what writing on someone's Facebook wall is, or sending a text. I don't really do cards because I'm, you know, everyone's so transient these days that it's really hard to. But if you want to wish someone a Merry Christmas, at least give them a phone call or make them something.
Make a phone call? Nobody does that anymore.
I know, it's mental. But yeah, I like ringing people. And I think that also on my Facebook wall, when people write on there for my birthday, I make a point of sending them a Facebook message afterwards. This year, I think about 70 people, you know, wrote on my Facebook wall saying happy birthday. And so I wrote all of them a message, each one of them individual, personal, you know, like, how are you? What's going on? You know, what's life like up in Basingstoke? You know, whatever. And I'd say maybe about 6 people replied. So yeah, the people being bored on the bus and making me feel less special. And New Year's as well. I always get those bloody New Year's texts. And it's like, well, thank you very much for this text. You know, shouldn't you be like having fun with somebody, or like, you know, hanging out? You know, I mean,
plus there's a delay usually. It's not going to come around just at midnight because everyone's texting.
It comes at 3 a.m. when you're being sick into a toilet. And I guess it's the same with Christmas Eve as well. You know, you get all these texts you saying Merry Christmas, blah, 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 blah. I mean, what most of these people don't know is that I celebrate Christmas like a little bit earlier than the Christmas Day itself. Not because I'm like a weird religion or anything, because my mum's birthday's on Christmas. So really, they should be texting my mum a happy birthday rather than me a Merry Christmas, because she's working. So yeah, she looks after people with bits of their brain missing. Her specific group of service users all have bits of their brain missing, be that through industrial accidents or through surgery, or, you know, through different hemorrhages and all that lot. And so her job is, even on her birthday, which is Christmas Day, she is going to be making sure that they have a nice Christmas. And for me, I'd much rather, like, my mum be helping people who deserve Christmas a bit more in certain respects, you know, and Christmas for them is a lot harder to get to see their family and to have a nice time, for her to sort of help them, than for, you know, her to cook a massive dinner on her birthday while we all sit around with stupid hats on. We can do that any time, so we do it but we do that a week before, so then, you know, it gives her a bit of space to celebrate her birthday and Christmas. But yeah, I think that's the thing. It's like, Christmas is very special, but it doesn't necessarily have to be on Christmas Day. It's more about being together, I think.
Well, David, as your mum's birthday is on Christmas Day, I just thought we'd play a little game now, if that's okay with you. Your mum is not alone. There are other people in the world that celebrate their birthday on Christmas Day. A number of celebrities. So we're going to have a little quiz now called I Was Born on Christmas Day. Okay, David's going to play a quiz now. You too can play at home or on the bus or wherever you're listening to this podcast.
On the toilet.
I'm going to name 6 celebrities who have their birthday. Well, I'm not going to name them.
No, because that's what I have to do.
Don't! 6 celebrities who have their birthday on Christmas Day. I'm going to give you some clues or say a couple of famous lines or something like that, and you have to tell me who it is.
Oh, God, you don't realise how bad I am at celebrities. This is like my worst roundup pub quiz.
I've got no clock going, so your time starts now, but in your own time. By the way, my impressions are pretty appalling. So
you're going to do impressions?
We shall see. Okay.
They've got to be better than Alistair McGowan's.
So these are all celebrities who were born on Christmas Day. Play it again, Sam.
Oh, Humphrey Bogart.
Correct.
Yes. I'm good at this.
Howdy, 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 hi. Howdy, 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 ho. Minnie the Moocher. He was in some Hula Hoops adverts in the 80s.
Was he even alive in the 80s? No, he was alive in the 80s. Oh, I'm not very good at this one. It's not the crow from Cure, is it?
Cab Calloway.
No, I don't even know who that is.
This one, she's a Dutch model.
Okay.
And she's, well, amongst her many endeavours, she appeared in Chris Isaak's Wicked Game video. Because I don't want to fall in love.
Oh.
Dutch model, and she was in Chris Isaak's video. That's your clue.
I have no idea. I can't even name a model, let alone a Dutch model. It's Reva Steenkamp, but that's because she's been shot now. So
Helena Christensen, too many sons there.
Well, no, she should be Icelandic with a name like that.
Helena Christensen.
Oh no.
Okay, your next celebrity who was born on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
My tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. It's not Eminem.
Oh, it's Dido.
Dido.
Yes.
Sweet dreams are made.
Oh, Annie Lennox. I knew that one already, actually, because my mum used to be very proud of the fact that both her and Annie Lennox had the same birthday.
There you go. And finally, and this one is very appropriate for Christmas. It was Christmas Eve, babe, drunk house.
Sean McGowan. Shane McGowan.
Correct.
Sean McGowan. What am I like, eh?
Shane McGowan of the Pogues. He's born on Christmas Day. How perfect.
Really?
Is that? Yeah.
Oh, and he's got such a perfect smile as well.
Well, there we go. You did pretty well on that quiz.
I think I did better than I expected to do on that quiz.
The contract is over, it's time to move on. The boiler is broke and the landlord's a moron. Life isn't simple, houses cost a bomb. You could sell all your organs or move in with someone. A nice friendly house share would suit me just fine. The world is your oyster when searching online. Double bedroom, ensuite shower next to the train line. Going to meet the housemates, got a date and got a time. For housemate roulette, housemate roulette. Gambling for friends that you haven't quite met. Awkward greetings, cups of tea and a sense of impending doom. A lot of stress and nervousness for an average looking room. Play housemate roulette with me. This house is amazing, I can't believe the price. His girlfriend is pregnant but they're really, really nice. They've got a farm up north so I can have some privacy. But they want me to help raise their child communally. The next house is hidden in the hipster part of town. The door smells like cat piss, there's graffiti all around. Inspirational messages daubed onto damp walls. Next door's gabber music echoes through the halls. Housemate roulette, housemate roulette. Gambling for friends that you haven't quite met. Awkward greetings, cups of tea and a sense of impending doom. A lot of stress and nervousness for an average looking room. Play housemate roulette with me. I'll put up with the boiler, this is the final straw. A girl in a cool t-shirt opens up the door. She likes Star Trek herbal tea and she's got a soda stream. Like JR from Dallas, it was just a dream. So I'll play housemate roulette, housemate roulette. Gambling for friends that you haven't quite met. Awkward greetings, cups of tea and a sense of impending doom. A lot of stress and nervousness for an average looking room. Play housemate roulette with me.
Now, amongst your repertoire is your song Housemate Roulette. And there's a little tale about Christmas last year for you, David. What happened there?
Well, last year I moved house on Christmas Day because I moved into a shared house and I thought, well, the last thing I want to do is, you know, disrupt everyone, you know, with all my tiny boxes. And because it was such a small room, it really needed some planning into getting everything in there. So what I did was I moved house on Christmas Day because there's nothing on the telly apart from the Queen's speech, maybe.
Top of the Pops and Doctor Who.
I don't like Doctor Who.
Oh, controversial.
I know, I'm a terribly controversial person. I like Star Trek more. And yeah, so there's not much on telly. There's no traffic. The housemates obviously were away, so I could, you know, clean and tidy, make a noise, make a ruckus, and yeah, it worked really well. And again, with my mum's birthday being on Christmas, I think she was hanging out with her boyfriend that year, and so it meant that I had lots of quiet time and space to sort of get things done. And then I watched Home Alone 2, you know, as my reward. So, you know, every cloud. And actually, the year before that, I moved house on Christmas Day as well. I've just remembered, when I first moved to Bristol, I moved house on Christmas Day again because, you know, everyone was away. Everything's quiet. I have time to sort of get things sorted, and you know. So for me, actually, Christmas Day itself is a good time to get things done because nobody else is getting things done. None of the shops are open. You know, you can just kind of focus and not get distracted because there's nothing really there to distract you. Not even things on Facebook. Nobody's talking on Facebook unless they're writing crap on your wall anyway about Merry Christmas. Here's a picture of a snow leopard. So yeah, I think for me, Christmas is a really good time to get things done. But yeah, the song Housemate Roulette actually was about looking for housemates when I was moving in Christmas. And I've got a pretty good pair of housemates, actually. One of them plays the cello, and the other one is Italian.
Merry Christmas and happy birthday to your mum. Give her my wishes.
I will do. I'll shake her hand on your behalf.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas, David.
Yep, thank you.
And we'll see you for more gigs and stuff in the new year, hopefully.
Oh, thanks, Gareth.
You're listening to Gareth Jones on Radio Radio.
I could hear your breath whistle up your throat, your eyes two shots of liquid blue. We'll listen together to your phone until your phone stopped calling you. There in Bristol after Christmas, there in Bristol before New Year. Ate an evening meal for breakfast on the plastic chairs of the Falafel King. I wasn't missing anybody, I wasn't missing anything. There in Bristol after Christmas, there in Bristol before New Year. Your breath float away towards the water. Your eyes flick it on and off, not looking for the words to send me straight, not looking for the time that we had lost. There in Bristol after Christmas, there in Bristol before you.
From David Leitch, we move to another David there. That's David Tattersall from the Wave Pictures with They're in Bristol After Christmas. a song rather appropriate to me and to David Leach because we both live in Bristol. And you can find that track on a compilation put out by the label Where It's At Is Where You Are called Christmas Time Approximately. So it's Radio Radio, the Christmas special, and coming up next I'll be in conversation with Jessica and Catherine from the Smoke Fairies. Now, the Smoke Fairies have had quite a lot of success in their short time. They've gone on tour supporting Laura Marlin, Richard Hawley, even Brian Ferry. And Jack White flew them over to America to cut a record for his label Third Man Records. Now, the Smoke Fairies have just released a Christmas album called Wild Winter, and it's available exclusively to Rough Trade. They've just played a very short tour of record shops called the 3Wise Stores Tour. They played at the Rough Trade East in London, the Rough Trade in Nottingham, and at Rise Records in Bristol, because Rise is now co-owned by Rough Trade. So you'll be hearing me chatting to Jessica and Catherine from the Smoke Fairies in a couple of moments. But first, let's hear a track from the album Wild Winter. This is Christmas Without a Kiss. Jessica, Catherine, Merry Christmas, I'll say, first of all.
That's my first Merry Christmas I've got this year.
It's, what are we now? I'm losing track of the dates.
It's the 9th
of December. Yeah. And that's your first Merry Christmas so far.
It is. I guess everyone's been a bit restrained.
I tend to start in November, but but that's me.
It's best to start early.
And we're here to talk about your Christmas album, obviously. I kind of read through the press release. I can't quote word for word, but it was kind of giving the impression that when the idea was suggested to you to do a Christmas album, you didn't want to have the usual sleigh bells and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it wasn't your idea, was it? Was it a manager or the record label?
I guess it was Rough Trade, the record shop, wanted to release a Christmas album, and so they suggested to us that we do a Christmas album of Christmas songs. And I don't know whether they were expecting, you know, the classic Christmas tunes, but at the time it was kind of springtime and we just thought, no, we can't do that. So we had to have a bit of a rethink about what Christmas meant to us and what kind of album we wanted to make.
Was it originally, when the idea was put to you, you thought you might have to do some covers and then you decided to do originals?
We didn't really... I mean, to be honest, I'm more of the humbug of the duo. Jessica loves Christmas songs, and she was like, this is going to be great, we can do loads of Christmas songs. She was like, I like Frosty the Snowman. And I was thinking, I can't do it, I just can't. I think what was quite nice about this record was my humbugness and Jessica's eagerness kind of collided, and I think it met in the right place. So there's a few Christmassy songs kind of, you know, talking about Christmas, but I think mentioning it in a way that's more realistic than the kind of sleigh bells and reindeer and kind of plasticky idea of Christmas that we're all kind of forced to absorb every year. So I'm hoping that we've created something a little bit different.
Is this a lifetime thing from childhood? Were you kind of...
I don't know. I think it's just as you get older, maybe, you start thinking, oh, you know, it's kind of a marker of what you've done in the year, or who's there and who isn't there. And you get back to Christmas with your family and you think, what have I... It's like that song, I like that line, "So this is Christmas, but..." Is it like, "But what have you done?" or something?
I'm not sure.
The late John Lennon.
Yeah, and I just think, that's great. That's what I feel like when I'm sitting round. I try and eat as much food and drink as much as possible to kind of wipe those thoughts from my brain.
She's really negative about Christmas.
Although I do like it, I like the Christmas crackers and I like the really rubbish jokes inside, and I like making up my own ones.
So it's quite a... Can I use the word bleak? Is that fair to say?
Well, the thing is, we recorded this record in the summer, and so I think some songs, like we've got the title track, Wild Winter, it really kicks into something that I feel is actually quite joyful and has a kind of summery, celebratory kind of feel about it, I guess. And I think that was reflected because we were recording it in a heatwave. And also, I mean... I can just hear the band sound checking a bit. We've got like a song about the Three Kings, like what they would say if they were drunk at a party, about all the kind of crazy things they've done. So we kind of did have quite a lot of fun with some of the tunes. It's not all bleakness like what Kef was just describing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a song about like being a kid, and you know, it was quite fun to harp back to those first thoughts of Christmas, you know, when it was still really exciting and you've got all the presents. You're not totally sure if Father Christmas is real or not, and if he's not real, then what other lies have been told to you? You know, that kind of exciting / questioning time. And so we were quite enjoying kind of coming back to that as well. It was quite funny doing it in the middle of summer.
I think all Christmas albums are recorded in summer, allegedly.
So. I think they have to be to like get them out in time. I mean, at least we had this very strict deadline. Otherwise, I don't know how long it would have taken everyone to actually get it out and release it. But the great thing about this album was we did have a massive deadline, and we only recorded it in like 10 days, and then mixing had to be done super speedily. And then when we were thinking of the title, we were just like, let's just call it Wild Winter, and let's just decide this track listing. Whereas our other album that we released, we kind of... pondered over the track listing for about 3 weeks, asked loads of people, really agonised over it. But having the Christmas deadline works really well, I think.
And did you have to do anything to Christmasify the recording studio?
We did have this plan that we were going to wear Christmas jumpers, find some mince pies and get some tinsel in. But I think we only managed one string of tinsel, and then it was just too stressful to go off and find the other bits.
Plus jumpers in the summer.
Yeah, no one. It wasn't very practical. We didn't think that one out.
There was a string of tinsel, but I don't know what happened to it.
The main thing we didn't like about doing the Christmas album was that people could only listen to it in like a 3 week window leading up to Christmas, and then you'd have to put it away with the Christmas decoration. So we kind of wanted to do something like people, I feel, could listen to these songs throughout the year, maybe minus Christmas Without a Kiss, and you could still feel like they're valid, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's something a bit depressing about things just coming out. I mean, I always, you know, as a kid, used to think of all the decorations, like put in their old margarine containers with the rubber bands around and stuff back up in the attic, and all of their little faces all sad, so they've been shoved in the attic again. And I just really didn't want this to be the album version of that.
Wild Winter is not just for Christmas, it's for life.
Exactly, it's like pets. A good message there.
I've seen the midnight, saw the tundra, and I followed stardust in silvery wonder.
Well, the album is out now. It's available exclusively through Rough Trade and Associated Record. I mean, here in Bristol, you're at Rise, but they're connected with Rough Trade.
Yeah, they are.
Was that a kind of fingers up to Amazon and HMV?
Well, I mean, Rough Trade came up with the idea, and I think it's hard for artists to kind of raise money these days to make records, and, you know, it's good to support independent record labels, especially when it's kind of like an interesting relationship with this record, because they came up with the idea and sort of commissioned it and guaranteed the sales, so we're quite happy with the new kind of way of doing albums like that if someone's going to give you the cash to do it.
You have to take every opportunity you can. We always feel like we never know when our next chance is going to come, and
it was great doing this record so soon after our last one, because I felt like we carried through a lot of the changes we'd made and a lot of the ideas we'd had from that record into this one. I didn't expect that we'd have two records out this year, so artistically it was great. I mean, I wish it was like that all the time. I always get frustrated with the slowness of everything.
It used to be with the Beatles.
Yeah, you know, you kind of have to do things in these sort of annoyingly slow cycles. So this year's been great, really fun.
Maybe you should challenge yourself to do an Easter album and a summer album.
I mean, it's really great working around a theme. I'd love to do an Easter album and a summer, like working on the seasons. I think that would be really fun.
I mean, a lot of our songs run along these themes already, so it felt like quite an easy thing to do. You know, the wintry kind of theme came easy to us, so it would be good to explore that more.
And it's come out at just the right time, because it was mild only a couple of weeks ago, and now it's freezing.
Yeah.
So it is officially winter.
It's because of the album coming out, you know.
I'm aware you're about to soundcheck, so I won't keep you, but are there particular things you do yourselves on Christmas Day, or do you try to shut yourself away from it all?
I like to go on Christmas walks, and I am really obsessed with Christmas songs. Like, I've got this really old Chipmunks Christmas tape that has to come out every year, and I just love all the songs that come with Christmas, I think.
I always end up round at Jessica's family house, and there's always like a sing-along round the piano, where I'm trying to play the piano, struggling through with my really bad sight reading, and that's always quite fun. There's a lot of kids in my family, so I like to experience Christmas through them, because they're what it's all about, you know. They get excited, and that's what it's for, really.
I always thought it's for the adults, but forget about the kids.
Yeah, I think it's for adults too.
The adults just go to sleep. I don't know.
But what a day to go to sleep. Well, thank you very much, and have yourselves a merry little Christmas.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks to the Smoke Fairies, and the album Wild Winter is available now from Rough Trade. It's also available from Rise in Bristol, or directly from the band's website, Full Time Hobby, which is fulltimehobby.co.uk. Well, I'm sad to say we've reached the end of this Christmas special. I'm sad to say it, you're probably quite relieved. Yes, over for another year. Time to pack away the decorations, put down the tree, put away my copy of Six White Boomers by Rolf Harris. Actually, I did that a few months ago. Yeah, it's all over. It's all over. Over for another year. I will be back next year. I don't know when. These podcasts are not prolific. This year, I managed a Halloween special and this Christmas special. That's it. Just two podcasts in 12 months. I am a slacker. But I will be back. And if I'm not back till next Christmas, then, you know, it makes me feel a little bit like Father Christmas, because I come once a year. So I'm going to leave you now with one final track. And it's John Otway, comedy punk performer John Otway. I don't know if you saw his film he released this year, Otway the Movie, but it really is one of the best music documentaries, one of the funniest music documentaries I have ever seen. It makes Spinal Tap look pretty boring, to be honest. Well worth checking out. It's available on DVD now, Otway the Movie. Anyway, John Otway has just released a four-track Christmas EP. I'm not going to play the lead track, called OK Father Christmas, because it's bloody awful, to be honest with you. But I'm going to play one of the B-sides called Rocking with the Reindeer. So thank you very much for listening. Have yourselves a merry little Christmas. And I'll leave you now with John Otway. Cheerio.
There's no room in the shops, and there's no space on the pavements. I hear sleigh bells in my head, they're calling out to me. Santa Claus is waiting at the North Pole, saying, don't you wanna be? Wouldn't you rather be? Rocking with the reindeer. Rocking with the reindeer. Rocking with the reindeer. Rocking with the reindeer. Christmas. Christmas. Peeling potatoes and stuffing the turkey. Granddad's drunk by 2:30. my ear. Don't be downhearted, come to our Christmas party. Don't you wanna be? Wouldn't you rather be? Rocking with the reindeer, rocking with the reindeer, rocking with the reindeer, rocking with the reindeer. Winter wonderland, full of Christmas cheer. We'll play a game of hide and seek with Dasher, Dancer, Dancer Vixen, Comet Cupid, Donner and Blitzen. Piccadilly Circus. There's no room in the shops. Is it really worth it? I hear sleigh bells in my head. They're calling out for me. Santa Claus is waiting at the North Pole saying, don't you wanna be? Wouldn't you rather be? Rocking with the reindeer, rocking with the reindeer. Hey, rocking with the reindeer. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. Trying to Piccadilly Circus.
You've just heard one of the most remarkable applications in modern electronics. A battery-operated pure electronic organ which is the size and weight of a half-pound box of chocolates. It's called the stylophone. Just imagine it's you and your family or your friends getting together on Christmas Eve and you're playing something like this.